at this time. Boaz, would you come up here? Let's give a warm welcome for Boaz. I just would like to say, as you come up, as a brief introduction, my daughter, who has been here on the piano for this week, met Boaz's wife in Shigoria, Kenya, and they became good friends, and that's how Joanna was introduced to Boaz, and that's how Joanna introduced us to him as well. And it's been our privilege as a church to be able to help and assist in a small way with him on the mission field, and we've been waiting for a year for you to come to us. And we're so thankful that the Lord opened the doors. And so Boaz is going to share with us this morning and bring the word for us. And then we're also going to have a presentation in the fellowship hall for the luncheon, okay? So God bless you, Boaz.
Thank you so much. All right. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm overwhelmed by the love, the warm welcome. First of all, receive greetings from Africa. Africa not as the continent, but Africa, my wife. And the kids and my Burundian families that are in Kenya right now, watching at this moment. Greetings. And my pastor also is in Canada watching too. So people are watching. Yes, so I'm really overwhelmed by the warm welcome, the love that I have been shown. I don't think I deserve that. Thank you, Pastor Steve and family. Thank you for all the love, all the warmth that I have felt since Kenya. Pastor Steve was watching. Okay, Boaz has just gone through maybe Pacific Ocean. Yeah? His plane has landed. Every small details about my plane, he knew. And my wife was telling me that. And Pastor Steve, how is he following? This is America. And the warmth, the welcome that I have seen from each and everyone, and that each person that we have met since yesterday. My wife is indebted by the love that she received from the woman's fellowship. She's forever grateful. Thank you. Thank you so much for welcoming us among you without knowing us well. You opened your doors, you opened everything to us, and we are forever grateful. Pastor Steve, thank you for trusting us that way. Thank you, the church leadership, for everything. When you came into our lives, things were tough. We have just been accepted as missionaries, and I had just finished my residency. And it was tough. It was really tough, but God being God, he knows how to make a way where there's no way. Yeah, and the way was this church, was you. And today, I am here because he's God. Maybe we'll have more time to talk about that later. I did not plan to read this even yesterday, but I want to read this because it is something that is deep from my heart to you. It is the letter that Paul wrote to the Philippians. It's not the message of today. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, we'll read up to verse 11. It's thanksgiving and prayer. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to the completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you dear in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel. For my God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruits of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and the praise of God. That was Paul to the church, but that's from me now to you. That's from my family to you. That's from Batia, our firstborn daughter, who is 5 years old now. Sean Bofrika, who is our boy, second born, is 2 years now. And Africa, my continent, and myself. This is the expression of how we feel about you. Thank you so much for everything. As you can see on the screen, we are those people there. I am a medical doctor, currently a family physician. I am working in Kenya right now, but I come from Burundi. Who have ever heard of Burundi? Good. Who has been in Burundi? One. Welcome back. Yes, Burundi is a very small, beautiful country in East Africa. Before East Africa, we were saying we were in Central Africa. You see that small, I don't know if you can see it, you cannot even, you see the arrow pointing there. There's just an arrow pointing there, but I tried to magnify it, so it is that. We call it the heart of Africa because the shape, it's almost like the heart, yeah? And also, the location of it, not far, so we are proud to say it is the heart of Africa. It's a very beautiful, small country, landlocked, and we are about, officially we are about 14 million of people, but we think, unofficially I think we may be around 15 million of people. Yes, it's a very small country, 227,000 kilometers square. I don't know how that it is in miles. Yeah? Yes, so it's a small country, but popularly dense. Yeah? My background, I was born in 1984. I'm old, yeah? And then I was born in a Christian home. I am the fifth child in a family of seven. I was born in a Christian home. I grew up with a Christian education, but that did not make me a Christian, yeah? But I have a Christian background, Christian education. I feared God. I was sharing with Pastor Steve that I feared God because I was afraid of hell, but not because I had a relationship with God. Yeah, I feared him as a God who punishes. Yeah, if you don't do this, I will do this. Yeah, and I was more afraid of hell than being a friend or having a relationship with God. But I gave my life to Jesus when I was still in Sunday school. But I grew up with the fear of God as a God who punishes people because they're not doing what he wants. That's the only thing I feared or I knew about God. And in 1998 in high school, the light came and I started having a relationship with God. The fear of a God as the one who is there to strike changed to a loving God, that I have to fear as his God who need to be feared, but not because he's a God who just punishes. And my life changed because I started having a relationship with God than running away from God. In 1993, because of what, for those who have read or who know about Burundi, it's a country that has never been at peace for more than 15 years. It's one of those Great Lakes countries that have been in civil war, turmoil most of the time. So my country has been in this kind of things since 1940s, 1960s. We are three tribes, Hutu, Tutsi, Twa. Hutu being the majority according to statistics, Tutsi being the minority, Hutus being, Twa being the least, like less than 1%. The story of Burundi is told according to someone belong. Yeah, the Hutu will tell you their story, the Tutsi will tell you their story, the Twa are silent. So I'm not going to tell you about Hutus and Tutsi. Yeah, because I may tell you what I know, and someone will tell you what he knows or she knows, and then may be conflicting. But what I know is that the Hutus and Tutsi have been killing each other for decades. And in 1993, I was old enough to witness one of those crises, and then we had to run away to as a refugee in the Democratic Republic of Congo. While as a refugee in the Republic of Congo, war broke out in Congo. Yeah, so you are a refugee, and then where you are, war broke out again. So you have to run. You are double refugee. Yeah, so it is that time that, during that time, that I lost my father and my brother to war in DRC. Imagine we ran away from war, but we died. My brother and my father died because of the other side. I was to die with them, but God, knowing what the plans he had for me, miraculously, I escaped. I don't know if it was escape. It's like when you are seated here, I say, Pastor Steve, stand up and walk outside, and we all die here. That's how it happens briefly, like saying like that. And 2014, God doing his things. I will talk more about this in the afternoon. I finished med school as one of the calling that God has put in my heart to be. And 2017, I hit the jackpot. I hit the jackpot because Africa came into my life as my beautiful wife. And it is, I think it was, it is one of the things that happened to my life that not forget. Yes. And in the process of what God is doing in my life, in 2019, I finished my residency in family medicine. And because what God has put in my life, in 2020, we were recruited as a World Gospel Mission Global Worker, workers, me and Africa in Africa region. So today, I and Africa are WGM Global Workers in Africa region, but our mission field is in Burundi. I will talk more about this in the afternoon. Currently, we are at Litein AIC Litein Mission Hospital. It is in Kenya, in the Great Rift Valley. That is the town where we are. It's green, it's beautiful, and then it's known for tea. It grows, it's a tea land, and it has good sceneries. If you if you ever travel to Kenya, don't go without passing through Litein or Kericho County. It's very beautiful. And that is the hospital where I am currently working as a family physician. I went there because there was a requirement for me to, after I finished 4 years of family medicine residency, to do 2 years so that I can be certified as by the medical board as a family physician, and then get credentials to be able to practice. So in general, my family medicine residency is 6 years. Yeah. So that's where I work. And that is the one of the mission of the hospital, sharing the gospel in word and in deed. So today, my message today, I was thinking, what do I talk to you? What do I tell you? And it happened that I felt like we share Mark chapter 6, verse 30 to 44. You may have read that, but let's go through it again. So Mark chapter 6, we will start from verse 30 to 44. Jesus feeds the 5,000. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now, many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, that Jesus, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and the villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered them, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 2,000 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat? And he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds. They sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. Amen. This is a story that we probably have heard, and Pastor Steve is good at teaching the Bible. I pray that the Holy Spirit helps me reach at least a fingertip of what what he does. So, but this is the Word of God, and I pray that God helps you to understand it according to your needs and according to what God wants to communicate with you. Father, I speak, communicate. Here we see Jesus and the disciples. Probably they have been, if you read the previous chapters, they have been working. They were busy working, doing what they were supposed to do, doing what God wanted them to do. They even had gone on a mission. The disciples had gone on a mission. Yeah? And when they came back, once they finished the mission, they came back. They were so tired. They even came to report to Jesus what had happened, what they did, what they taught. They were very happy. But what we see here, they were exhausted, including Jesus. They were tired. They have been walking all through. So Jesus, who knew, looked at his disciples, saw that they were really, really tired, that their physical body needed rest. Not only that, they had not even eaten. They have been working there, going there. They needed rest. They needed food. But that could not happen, because if you read from verse 32-33, it says that many were going and coming. So if they stayed at the same place, they would not even have, again, the time to rest and to eat. So he told them, let's go to a desolate place so that you can rest, so that you can eat. So our Jesus, he is a good shepherd. He knows the needs of us. He knows the needs of our people. He knows the needs of his people. If you continue to look down the following verses, despite that for his disciples, he knew what they needed, he took them into a desolate place, the people, they saw them, they recognized like, that's Jesus and his team. They followed, they even went ahead, it's read from all towns. Now even they were becoming bigger. The crowd was becoming bigger. They needed rest. Yeah? They needed rest. I wanted to make that point that is portrayed there, that Jesus as a good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. They needed rest. They needed to feed. Their physical body needed rest and they needed refreshment. They went away so that they can do that. But the people, they saw them, even in numbers, all towns, and then they follow them, they went even ahead of them. When they reached there, Jesus saw the crowds and said, okay. Jesus did not do, and the team, they did not do what they were supposed to go to do. Remember, they were supposed to go to rest, eat, and refresh for the next session. But there was a crowd of people who needed help. They went ahead of them and they were there. The mission for them to go to a desolate place was to rest and eat and refresh. But they found a crowd of people. Jesus, being a good shepherd, being a good shepherd who knows the needs of his people, he aborted the first mission. He aborted the first mission and started what is most important. He didn't give them bread. he started teaching them. Because he saw what they needed more was teaching. They needed to know more about the gospel, about what Jesus came to do. So he started teaching them the things of heaven. He taught them. I don't know if he forgot that they came to eat and to rest. I don't know what was the feeling of the disciples that time. They didn't even have time to enjoy, like to get a feedback from Jesus, like, you know, Jesus, we prayed, and then he said, oh, you did well, things like that. They didn't have that time. And Jesus is teaching people because that's what they needed. He saw like they were sheep without a shepherd. They needed to know more. They put Jesus and the disciples, they put aside their interests, their own things, to the interests of the people that was there, that were there. They needed spiritual nourishment. And they did that. How often do we put our ours first before others? In the book of Philippians chapter 2, verse 5-2, you can read that. The Bible says that do not put your first interest, but put others first. To consider others first. Here, it is a clear example of how Jesus and the disciples put the interest of the people, most importantly, not the physical interest, but the spiritual interest. They laid down their own things. But remember, Jesus even did more. He laid down his life for us. He laid down his life for me. He laid down his life for you. Today we are here because Jesus did not consider himself God, did not consider himself worthy to stay at the throne. But so that it was so good for me and you to be reconciled back to Jesus, to God. And laid down his life and came. He continued even here to put aside his interest and the interest of the disciples. Today we are the disciples. Amen. We are the disciples. We are the disciples of Christ. And every time in our lives, everything we do, we are to imitate Jesus. Remember, I said we're imitating Jesus. As his disciples of today, we are to imitate Jesus in everything we do. He laid his life for us. He forgot about his physical rest, things, because there was an imminent need. There was a need that was more important to teach the people about the gospel. The food, yes, it is important, but it was not the need that was currently more important. Jesus, the good shepherd, he takes care of the welfare of the people. He knows our needs. He knows what we need. He knew, if you read in this passage, he knew both what the disciples needed at that particular time, but also if the crowd, when the crowd came there, after he has taught them, he knew that at certain time they need to feed. He knows and takes care of us. He knows. Every day he knows what is our daily need. Sometimes, myself included, we forget that he is the one who feeds birds. He's the one who makes the mountain beautiful. So he's the one who makes the flower blossoms. Yeah. But he takes care of us. on a daily basis. If you continue to read there from verse 33 or 37 to 39, you see how he now uses the disciples to meet the needs of the people. When the disciples saw that it was late, they told him, Jesus, you see how now, I want you to make this contrast here, the approach of Jesus and our approaches of handling the situation. So the disciples, both Jesus knew that it was late, okay? And that for sure the people were hungry. And the disciples, they also knew the same, they saw the same. And they came, they told him, Jesus, it is now late, and we are in a desolate place, and the people are hungry. Let's send them away so that they can go in town to look for something to eat. The approach of the disciples were to send the people away. They didn't consider themselves as having something to give to the people in terms of physical need. And probably it was okay. Maybe we don't know what they had, but if you go down, you will see that they had some money. And when they looked, they found five loaves of bread and two fish. But at the beginning, we don't see them trying to be the solution. Their solution was to send the people away. They saw the need. Yeah? They saw that the people, there was an imminent need. There was a physical need that needed to be met at that particular time. But their approach was to send the people to be the answer of the need away. How often do we see a need and look aside? Myself included. How often do we see a need in front of us? Not for ourselves, but for people. And be like the disciples. Say, God bless you. And we send them away for other people to be the answer, rather than us being the answer. Sometimes we don't think about it. We don't take time to think more that we can be the answer to that need. They told Jesus, yes, we see there is a need. These people are hungry. Probably they need also somewhere to sleep. So go. We'll tell them, because they are here to listen to you, tell them to go in the town and then find food themselves. Have we been like disciples sometimes in our lives, where we saw people in need, and I'm sure on a daily basis, we see people in need. The needs may be different, but sometimes we send the angels that the Lord has brought to us away. So when they told Jesus of the approaches of handling the problem, Jesus had a different approach. He told them, be the answer to the problem. Feed them. Be the answer to the problem. Feed them. And they started looking, okay, what do we have? And they even asked him, if look like, should we buy bread worth like some denaries there? That they had, they found out that they, after they looked, they found out that they had something. At the beginning, we don't see them thinking about buying even the bread, even if it is not much money. They did it at the beginning here. We don't see them thinking about using the little amount of money they had, that it can do something. So when Jesus told them to be the answer, they started looking. They found something. Yeah? they realize, we see here telling Jesus that should they buy on a verse 37, he answered them, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat? So probably this is the money they had, but for them it was not enough. But at least they had something. They found out that they have something. At the beginning, they did not have. The approach was, send them away. But now, we are having a different discussion. Can we use, we have something. You know, 200 something. And then Jesus here continued to tell them, how many loaves do you have? And again, they went back again. They looked around, did ask around, and then they came back. And they said, and when they had found out, they said, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. When we look, we find. Sorry, I wanted to speak Swahili. When we look, we find. There is always something we can do. Jesus, there is a problem. The disciples is to send, to, the answer to the problem was to send the people away. And Jesus' answer is, you be the answer. And when they took time to think about it, to look around, of like see what they had, they found out even among themselves there was something. But yes, it was not enough, but there was something. Jesus told the disciples to be the answer to the problem. We are imitators of Jesus Christ. Remember, I think it is in Corinthians chapter 1 that says that we should be the imitators of Christ. We are called to be the answer to the problems. We are called to be the answer to the problems. The problems of the community, the problems of the society, we are supposed to be the answer. We are the light. We are the salt of the world. And we are the ambassadors of Christ. We are the answer to many problems. The problem is, most of the time, we feel like we have nothing to offer. We feel like we send the people away so that they can find the solution. Sometimes, because we feel we don't have, because we feel like we can't be part of the solution, and sometimes we send the angels away. But Jesus said here, be the answer. Be the answer to your neighbor's issue. Be the answer to your community's issue. Be the answer wherever you are, because you are my ambassadors. An ambassador represents the president of the country he or she was born in. You do everything according to the country's rules and regulations. And our rules and regulations are heavenly. And the king is Jesus. And we are his ambassadors. And he said, be the answer to the problem. You are the answer to the problem. So Jesus takes care of the welfare of the people. He never sends people away. He provides the answer. And he taught his disciples to be the answer. And the disciples were at that time, the 12 that we know, today we are multitude of disciples of Christ. These words are addressed to us. If we continue, there is something more important here. Jesus Christ is concerned about the souls of his people. When those people, they came, Jesus started teaching them. He taught them. He didn't say, okay, sit down. I know you. He knew that people come to listen to him because probably he will do a miracle, you know, and then multiply things, you know. But he knew that what is more important, it's not the bread. It's not the healing of the body. It's not the miracles that he's performing. He knew that they needed to hear the words of life. That's why he started teaching them. Jesus is more concerned about the souls of people than anything. If you read in Mark chapter 2, when Jesus was in a room and teaching, there was a man who was paralyzed. And that man had friends. And those friends, I always say, I wish to have those kind of friends. And I wish you to have those kind of friends. Because what they did really was amazing. For them, this man needed to heal no matter what. That day was the day that man needed to heal. Probably, this is not how it is written, but this is how I think. If I try to create a movie, yeah, man, today you are to meet Jesus and you are to be healed. They grabbed him. They went. We know Jesus in that room. They went. To their surprise, the room was full and there was nowhere to get into that room. But they say, today is the day you meet Jesus. Your problems are going to be over today. We have heard of Jesus healing people. And today you meet him. How? They went to the roof. Tore apart the roof. Because they wanted their friends to be healed. They knew that Jesus had the power. And they descended him down. And Jesus saw them, the man. And to their surprise, rather than healing him, he said, your sins are forgiven. Do you know the disappointment of those people? The four friends who brought the man down, you know, because for them, it was not about the soul. For them, they believed that Jesus had the power to heal. Yeah? They believed that Jesus had the power to heal, which is good. But they were not concerned about the soul. They were not concerned that this man can be healed but end up in hell. So they did everything with their power, everything they could. I think when you reach the stage of tearing someone's roof, I think they had tried diplomatic ways. Yeah, I think they had tried to talk to the gatekeepers. People were like, let's squeeze things around. I think they had tried what they could so that they can squeeze that friend inside so that Jesus can see them. But because all those things they tried, they failed, they said, today is the day. Our friends need help. And we are the solution to this problem. We know that there is a man. Who can heal him? We are the answer to this man's problem, no matter what happens. We will do whatever it takes for this man to meet Jesus. They went, they tore apart, and they end up having the man down. And Jesus then disappoints them. Your sins are forgiven. They were like, what are you talking? Because even the Pharisees who were there, like, who is this man? What does he think he is to say your sins are forgiven? Only God can forgive sins. Yeah? And the other man, the man's like, You are joking. We came here for him to stand up and walk and start dancing. And he was saying, your sins are forgiven. So Jesus, being Jesus, knowing what, looking in the hearts of the people and their friends, and he said, what is great to tell this man your sins are forgiven? What will be worth for him to gain physical things and to lose eternal life? So, because for him, the body was not that the primary thing that he needed, and he didn't come for this physical body. He came to reconcile ourselves, our soul with Christ, with God. He started with what is important, the soul. And he said, your sins are forgiven. And then later said, yeah, you can also walk and go home. Yeah? Amen. Yeah. So his first priority is my soul, is your soul. And that's why he came. And once he has done that, the rest can follow. The physical things can follow. The physical needs can follow. The healing can follow. The miracles can follow because they follow the gospel. So the man stood up and walked. At the same time, he got two things: spiritual life, eternal life, and physical healing. But there were some people who were involved. I wish you and me, we become those kind of friends to some other people. Amen. Amen. We are, or you are those kind of people to us. But you can be also those people to others. That paralytic man got eternal life and physical healing because he had good friends. Do you want to be a good friend to someone? We are called to be good friends. We are called to be that way. There is no separation of that. The Bible tells us to be that. We are brothers and sisters keepers. We cannot go far from that. In everything we do, if Christ is not the center, if bringing people to Christ is not the center of what we do, it's useless. It is useless. What is worth for me to gain earthly things and lose eternal life? I am a medical doctor. If me, whatever I'm doing is not helping Jesus, people to come to Jesus, I'm losing the battle. If whatever I do, I make sure that the person I interact with sees Jesus in me, sees Jesus at the center of everything that I'm doing, they will get physical healing, but they will go with Jesus. Jesus is concerned about the souls of people. We are, most of countries in Africa, my country is among the poorest country in the world. I'm not poor, I'm not rich. I survive on donations. I always say, tell my friend, this is an example that I will say every time. If one of the presidents, the richest people in the world, like let's say, who is the richest person in the world? Elon Musk. Came to Africa, for example, or a place, and then they say, you go and greet him, you get even $10,000. So while I'm in Kenya, I tell my friends, I will go and greet him. He gives me the $10,000, and then I pay for flight ticket for all my family members. They come, they greet him. Because I know, yeah. Then they come, they greet him, they get their 10,000, but they refund me back. But I have sent plane ticket. Because why? Because I know the worth of greeting him. Okay? So he's only there, you greet him, you get 10,000. Because I love my family, and because I love my friends, and I need money, and I know they need money, I will do whatever it takes for them to come to greet him to get what I got. So if I can do that for something that perishes, and now I have Jesus Christ in my life, why should not be the same? Why should I not do everything that I can for my family members, my friends, to come to Christ? Because I know Jesus Christ gives eternal life. Jesus is concerned about the souls of people. And I am his ambassador. I am to make sure that the other people who don't know him, that he is the bread of life, get to know him. We should now be concerned, because we are imitators of Christ, we should be concerned about the souls of people too. So, and when we have done all these things, when we have been the answer to the people, when we have preached, when we have done everything that we have been the imitators of Christ, I like the song we sang. It was saying, and when I have done all this, I should not claim the crown, but be, give glory to you. The song. Yeah. The disciple, when we have done all those things, when we have become good disciples of Christ, we come back. We go back to Jesus Christ. Yeah? We give him accounts. Because we'll be accountable. We are accountable to everything that God has given to us. Being clothes, being money, a car, a house, everything that we think we own. Sometimes we think we made an effort to do those things. Yes, we worked, we participated, but God gave us life, gave us strength. We will give account how we use those things. How did you use your car to spread the gospel? How did you use your house to spread the gospel? How did you use your land to spread the gospel? How did you use your money, your single coin, to spread the gospel? We will be accountable before God. So when we have done all those things, remember, we come back to give account to Jesus. Not us to be glorified as people who can do this and that as we sang, but once we have been used by God to be a source of blessing to others, we come back and say, God, receive all the glory for all you have done through me. Oh, what then does this whole thing that I've just told me, what does it mean to us? Yeah, so as I was saying, like Jesus, we should all feel compassion. And we should be tenderly concerned about those who are perishing. And the people who are perishing are many around us. Sometimes it requires to forget our own needs and put others first so that they can inherit the kingdom of God. I always tell my friends, sometimes we are, it's the word, greedy. Greedy Christians. Because we know that Jesus is coming and eternal life is there, but we don't want to talk about it. We want to go to heaven alone. Because if you're not talking about Jesus to others, so what do we do? What are we doing? And we don't all have to be pastors. There are so many ways of doing it. Let's be tenderly concerned about Christ. And we should then use everything in our possession. Everything, we use everything that God has given to us to advance the gospel wherever it is needed, in the many ways it is needed. Like disciples, most of the time we feel like we don't have. We don't have something to do. We don't have. We push things away. We are human beings. Our approach is most of the time is like, we don't have. I don't have. But God uses what we have. He used what was locally available at that particular time. And to their surprise, there is always enough and even leftovers. Remember all the stories in the Bible about the woman with it's Elijah who told the widow, like, give me something to eat, to drink, and then she had like some little bit of flour and oil. And said, oh, no, just give it to me, you know? And he's like, give it to me, you know? No, I want to eat and die. And then, why do you want to die? And there is enough, you know? And the lady finally said, okay, probably this is a man of God. Okay, let me give. And she gave. And then what happened? There was enough. If you go on the Cana wedding, no, things are finished. Jesus used what is locally available, water. He needed wine, you know. Probably it would have taken some time to go and in San Diego to bring enough, but it was no time. And when they called upon Jesus. And they gave Jesus what they had. They surrendered to Jesus what they had. Jesus multiplies. So Jesus will use what we have. Currently, whatever we have, that's what Jesus will use. Whatever you have, that's what Jesus will use. What we have to do is to surrender it to Jesus. Is to give it to Jesus. I'm willing. This is what I have. And what Jesus do or does, he will do. And there will always be enough. Amen. As I finish, we are the disciples of today. Me and you. We are the disciples of today. God is willing to use you if you surrender to him. And he will use what you have. If you give yourself to him, he will use you. And he will use what you have. Remember the mission before he left to heaven. Matthew chapter 28. If you start from 19, he said, you and me go to the world, make disciples, teach them, baptize them, and I am with you till the end of the time. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, he is with us today. And we are the disciples he told us to go. Please let us go. We may go in many ways, but Jesus is willing to use us. With whatever we have, the little you have, the much you have, let us not take the approach of disciples of sending people away while we have enough to give. You will be accountable before God of what you have been given and how you used it. I will be accountable. What you have even given to me, God will ask me, how did you use that? Let us be the imitators of Christ. We can all do that if we surrender to him. We can all do that if our lives belong to him. We can all do that if he is the Savior in our lives. We can all do that if Jesus is the King, he's the one who rules. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for Christ. We thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for sending Jesus Christ so that he can reconcile us with you. We thank you that he laid his life down so that you can be who we are today. We can inherit the kingdom of God. And now, God, you told us to be imitators of Christ. And you commanded us to go preach, make disciples in the world. You promised that you will be with us till the end of time. Here we are before you, surrendering ourselves to you so that you can use us. You can use us to advance the gospel. You can use us to touch the lives of people spiritually, physically, financially, using what we have, what you have given us. We are who you made us be. We have what you allowed us to have. God, teach us to be a source of blessing and to be the answer to the problems of other people, wherever they are. And after we have done everything, we should not boast that we have done this or that. But we come back to you. We give you glory for what you've done. Father, in the name of Jesus, for those who may be here who have not received you as the King and the Savior of their lives, I pray that the Holy Spirit, who can convince us of our sins, touch and speak to them. Because, God, they are also sons and daughters of God. You love them equally. Touch us, God, and speak to us. In the name of Jesus, the Father and the Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.